Welcome to Torah Rimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Belazon, and today we are studying Shoftim Perek Tetvav. The Perek begins, it was after some time, it could be a few days or possibly a year, in the time of the wheat harvest. According to the Malbim, this detail sets the stage for the severity of Shimshon's actions that will follow. And Shimshon remembered his wife with a gedi, a young goat, and he said, "I will come to my wife into the room." But her father did not allow him to come in. And her father said, "You hated her because she revealed your secret, and I thought you were not going to return, so I gave her to your companion." He says, "Yeah, her younger sister is better than she is," meaning she will be more loyal to you, so let me give her to you instead. And Shimshon said, "This time I am blameless from the harm that I will cause the Plishtim." And Shimshon went, and he caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, and he put the foxes tail to tail, and he put one torch in between them. And he lit the torches, and he set them loose in the fields, in the stacks of grain of the Plishtim, and burnt up from the stacks to the standing grain, and to the vineyards and the olive trees. Remember, this is at the time of the harvest when the fields are full. The Radak explains the usage of foxes both practically and symbolically. Practically speaking, a fox walks backwards, and so the torches would stay between the foxes, so they would each walk backwards, and they would not pull away from his friend and then drop the torches. But on a symbolic level, Chazal explained that the Plishtim are like the foxes. Just like the foxes run backwards, similarly, the Plishtim backed out of the peace accord that Avimelech made with Avraham. And the Plishtim said, "Who did this?" They saw their devastated fields and they said, "What person caused this to happen?" And they, the people that saw, said, "Shimshon, the son-in-law of the Timni," because they took his wife and gave her to his friends. And so the Plishtim went up and they burned her and her father. And according to the Mitzuda, they did this in order to pacify Shimshon. And Shimshon said to them, "Are you accustomed to do like this?" According to Rashi, he's saying, "Do you usually allow a married woman to do this?" And he says, "If so, I have one more thing to do as revenge, and then I will stop." According to the Radak, Shimshon said, "If you would have punished my wife and her father-in-law and my father-in-law initially when my wife was stolen, that would have been a good thing. I wouldn't have had any complaint. But you did not think of that on your own. You were only reacting to me and to my being upset with the situation, and therefore I must exact revenge on you." And so Shimshon struck them. The pasuk says, "Shok al yarach," riders on foot soldiers, or according to the Radak, they were literally running and falling leg on thigh with a great slaughter. With a makagdola, and Shimshon went down and he dwelt Besif Sela Etam. And then the Plishtim go up and they encamped in Yehuda and they spread out in Lehi. Now, according to the Radak, it's called Lehi because of the subsequent event that will occur that we will see later in this parak. And the men of Yehuda say to the Plishtim, "Why did you come up against us?" Because they thought that the Plishtim were coming there to attack them. And they said, "We came to get you to bind Shimshon and do to him as he has done to us." Meaning, they wanted Yehuda to go and capture Shimshon for them. So 3,000 people from Yehuda, they go down to Seif Sela Etam, where Shimshon is, the cleft of the rock of Etam. And they said to Shimshon, "Do you not know that the Plishtim rule over us? What is this that you have done to us?" Meaning that the Plishtim are now coming and they're going to take revenge on us for this thing that you did. And so we see that even though Shimshon had victories over the Plishtim, he was not successful in completely overcoming them. And so Shimshon answered, "Just as they did to me, so I have done to them." According to the Mitzuta, he was saying, "Just as they have done evil to me by not protesting my wife's marriage, I have done evil to them." And the Malbim brings down that if a non-Jew comes and asks a Jew to turn over another Jew to be killed, according to the Rambam, you are not allowed. But there are two exceptions. Number one, if the person is chayav misa, if the person is deserving of the death penalty, if he is supposed to be killed. And number two, if that person is considered a rodef, meaning they are putting others in danger, therefore this person may be handed over. So the people of Yehuda are claiming that Shimshon is a rodef because he is putting them and their lives in danger. And therefore Shimshon responds that, "I did not think I would be causing you any danger or damage because this is a personal matter between me and them. The evil that they did to me, I am just simply repaying to them." And so the people of Yehuda, they say to Shimshon, we have come to tie you up and to give you into the hands of the Plishtim. And Shimshon said to them, I will go, but please promise me that you will not strike me yourselves. Pasuk Yud Gimel, and they say to him, no, we will tie you up and we will give you into their hands, but we will not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and they brought Shimshon up. And as Shimshon came up to Lehi, the Plishtim shouted towards him. According to the Metzuda, there were shouts of joy, or perhaps they were screaming insults at him. And then the Pasuk Yudal tells us, Vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem. The Spirit of God rested upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that was burned but with fire, and his restraints literally melted off his hands. And Shimshon found a moist jawbone of a donkey, a Lechi Chamor Triah, and hence the name of the place, Lechi. And Shimshon took this jawbone, and he killed with it 1,000 men. And Shimshon said, with the jawbone of the donkey, Chamor Chamor Sayim, I piled many piles, or meaning donkeys fell of a nation that is compared to donkeys, meaning with this jawbone of the donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. And so it was when Shimshon finished talking that he threw this jawbone from his hands and he called this place Ramas Lehi. And he became very thirsty and he called out to Hashem and he said, You have given through the hands of your servant this great deliverance. He says, a teshuah gedolah. And now should I die of thirst and fall into the hands of these uncircumcised people? Shimshon is very thirsty, but he knows that if he will go to the Plishtim, if he will go to the nearest town to get water, he will fall into the hands of the Plishtim. Additionally, according to the Malbim, he says, Hashem doesn't do a miracle for nothing. It can't be that after this great salvation that he gave over these 1,000 people into my hands, that I'm going to fall into the hands of the Plishtim. And so, Pasuk Yates, Hashem made it that the water came out of the jawbone and Shimshon drank it and he was revived. And so Shimshon calls this place Ein HaKorei, meaning according to Rashi, the fountain that came about through the calling out to Hashem. According to the Gemara and Sota, since Shimshon desired that which was tameh, that which was impure, namely a non-Jewish woman, therefore his life depended on that which was tameh, namely the jawbone of the donkey. And Shimshon, the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Chaf, he judged Bnei Yisrael during the time of the Plishtim for 20 years. And it's important to note that the Pasuk says during the days of the Plishtim, as they still ruled over Bnei Yisrael. Even though Shimshon had victories and he did win and kill many Plishtim, they were incomplete and therefore the Plishtim still ruled. And though there is another parak that will discuss the life of Shimshon, perhaps this is where this Pasuk is written, because here is where Shimshon reached his height. And from here on, afterwards, we'll see in the next parak, Shimshon begins his downfall. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.